Welcome or welcome back to our PPC Life podcast, a space for all to listen and enjoy. Here at PPC, our mission is to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. We are so glad you're joining us from wherever you are. We hope today's sermon encourages and blesses you.
Praise the Lord. As we continue in the book of Psalms over this summer, I heard that last week's message was absolutely wonderful. Psalm chapter 4. Come on, give praise to the Lord for our Pastor Rob and a powerful message last week. I normally listen in, but I wasn't able to because of the pace of my trip, but I will be listening in because I heard just such great reports, and I always love to be encouraging to the staff as they take their place in the pulpit from time to time. Today, I'm preaching on treasures of forgiveness, talking about God's unfailing love. And I'll be preaching from Psalm chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6. And you're saying, but Pastor, last week was Psalm chapter 4. Yes, it was. And today should have been Psalm chapter 5. But I've asked that preacher to hold it for a moment because I needed to step back in and just be able to do what the Word of God says, to command the sacred desk and to instill the faith, hope, and unity of the body of Christ as we press on in difficult times, recognizing that the enemy is swift, but the Lord is mighty. Amen. Amen. So God's unfailing love, chapter 6, and here we go today. We'll read together. Oh Lord, I think you read better when you're standing. So here we go. Some forgot how to read sitting, so I've got to get you to stand. Okay, here we go now. From the screen in the New Living Translation, Psalm chapter 6. Oh Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your rage. Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. I'm sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? Return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of your unfailing love. For the dead do not remember you. Who can praise you from the grave? I'm worn out from sobbing. All night I flood my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies. Go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. May all my enemies be disgraced and terrified. May they suddenly turn back in shame. Father, your word at times is obscure, but every word has meaning, and every word has been designed and planned for our betterment. So, Father, because of your unfailing love, heal us, deliver us, strengthen us, set us free. Father, let souls be saved in this place, because this, O God, is a cry to every heart. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God's unfailing love. I want to begin today with the title of this section, The Reality of Any Sin Condition, which is weakness. The reality of any sin condition is weakness. Sinfulness makes you weak because contrary to how we believe, whatever is contrary to God's word, even if well-meaning, is sinful. Whatever is contrary to God's word, regardless of how well-meaning it is sinful. Nothing can be contrary to the word of God just because someone means well. So David is crying out to the Lord because he found himself in a very difficult plight. This Psalm 6 is known as a penitent psalm. David had done something wrong, and he was not going to excuse himself from it. I love this psalm because I said there's something we can learn in every psalm. David was God's king. He could excuse himself, but David said, I cannot excuse myself when I know who God is. So he belabored God in repentance because he so desired to have God's mercy upon his life. We all want God's mercy, but God's mercy comes with repentance. It can't just be God be merciful. If we're saying God be merciful to me, a sinner, yes. But God be merciful to me and I'll continue to sin, no. Because we cannot be contrary to the word of God. So David in chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, he confesses to God that he had become sick at heart. He realized his spiritual life was not where it should be, and he had slipped into a strange comfort and a strange deceptiveness of thinking he could do anything and God would bless him. That is the problem of our society today, is thinking we can do anything we want and God has to bless us because we say we're Christian. Somebody talk to me online. And you see that very prevalent today. Psalm 6, David says, oh Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your rage. He's saying, God, I know you see, I know you know, and I know you can rebuke me and I know you can discipline me, but God, have compassion on me. Why? For Lord, I confess I'm weak. David is saying, okay, my sinfulness came out of my weakness, so heal me. Heal me, God. Heal me, for my bones are in agony. And what does he say? I am sick at heart. Lord, restore me. Friends, we've got to get to the place where we feel sick at heart when we see sin at any level. See, the church has gotten to a place where we're so comfortable that we prefer everything to be pretty than to be right. Talk to me, somebody. Because see, the word of God, I slipped in chapter 6, but I'm going to tell you something. I struggled. I was writing this at nights in Singapore and writing on the plane coming home. 15-hour, 12-hour flight, 5 hours, then 12 hours. And I'm writing. Why? Because I'm like, look, God, I know you're telling me get back in the pulpit and preach. But I'm not ready for this. I'm going to tell you what happens. When you don't know if you know, if you know, if you know if you're doing right, and you say, God, help me. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. God, I don't know if this is just me or if this is you. God, I don't know. And then yesterday, my devotions confirm you're on the right track. That was yesterday. I was so tired I didn't look at today's because I don't look ahead. I have different ones. I do 2 or 3. And so I did the first one. I went, wow, that's good. I did the second one. I went, oh, that's too God. Too much God. I've printed today's, and they're at all the doors. You can pick them up. If we run out, we'll print more. I only printed about 50 copies for those who are really interested in seeing how God today, August 2nd, confirmed, you better preach this word. I have it printed. Because when I read this morning's devotion, I went, God, you're too good. Because God, at first I was going, this is such a hard text to preach to a church. When I've just come back, I just preached so much glorious messages. I could give you any one of those. They were sweet and powerful and strong. I could just pull one. But Holy Ghost said, you're going to write this psalm. You're going to skip out a pastor. And you're going to preach to the church. And then I woke up this morning. Yesterday was confirming. Today was alarming. I went, God, how could I deny the power of your name? So I want you to know, you can pick it up afterwards. Those that are online, we'll send it to you if you need so. David says, I'm sick of heart. How long until you restore me? We need to be in the place where we become so sick in our spirit when we see their spiritual sickness that we do not pick up the spiritual sickness, but we resist it by going before God and saying, God, I don't even want that to come upon me. This is not true of everyone's sickness. There are many people who are sick in body, and they're sick for the glory of God because God's going to restore them. You know how many testimonies we have in this church? You will never have a testimony if you've not been through something. So there's different types of sickness. And David was sick in heart because he had committed a sin that he thought as king he could get rid of or he could get over. And God saying, doesn't matter who you are, no sin stays before God and is welcomed. All sin must be repented of. So this is a cautionary word. Woe to the one who is entwined in sin and sickness and allows pretentious righteousness to be upon them. We're gonna remember many people are stricken with illness today for the glory of God. And you say, why strike me? He says, I know how much you can bear. I know you'll bear up under it, and I'm gonna take you through, and you're gonna give glory to God. Because there are many, many unsaved people want to know if our God does miracles. He can't do miracles if there's not something that made the miracle. So if you're going through something right now, say, God, make your miracle through me. But if you are struggling with some type of sickness that you know comes from a sickness of the heart, God cannot bless that. Every sickness of the heart must be repented of so that the glory of the Lord will shine forth upon his people. So allow me to qualify something that we sometimes don't want to hear. A lot of believers don't like to hear this statement. 1 Corinthians 11:28 to 31, Paul talks about communion. He said, this is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if you would examine yourself, he would not be judged by God in this way. There are many Christians that do not want this ever to be read or taken seriously, because we have learned to make church about our community, not about our communion. And this is where generations are falling apart. Generations are falling apart. We are watching the church decline at every level because there's no fear of God. There's no fear of God in the church. There's no fear of God in the world. There's no fear of God in the systems. There's no fear of God in all that we're seeing. And we're all going, God, when are you going to change the world? When is the church going to change so that the world fears God because they see the fear of God in the church? David so feared God that he went before. He didn't let God bring the charge to him. He went before God because David's sickness at this time was due to his compromise on moral lines. And he knew he was no longer in right standing with God. And he knew this physical ailment of his heart that came upon him was due to his unconfessed sin. But he feared God. And he's saying, God, you got to take it away because I'm repenting. Sin renders anyone physically weak, and such weakness attacks our spiritual strength. Listen, we will all get sick. If you remember at December, I fell and just about broke everything. Nothing broke, thank God. Mother Merle, she fell and it could have broken everything at her age coming into 90, but nothing broke. There are times when God will spare us, even though he will give us a good little clap so that we can get up and give testimony of God's mercy. A mother, mom, Yemi says, mom, I was there visiting. Mom is not, what? 96. And let me tell you something, nobody prays stronger and longer, harder than she does. I mean, she will anoint you, pray for you. She will get you up and going, and anything in your life, she'll call it out faster than you could call your name. But why? Because the glory of God still resides in her at 96. That's what we gotta live for, not just to please people, but to please God in such a way that he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. David knew he had become physically weak, but he knew it was because his spiritual strength was weak. When our spiritual strength is low, our moral compass is low. And that's what's wrong with the church today. Our moral compass is so low because our spiritual strength is so low. Get ready to strengthen your resolve today. God, I just need a touch from you. God, I need you to restore the joy of my salvation because I want the joy of thy salvation. Get ready today to give the devil a kick and let him know I am not going to be down here. I'm standing strong in the power of the Spirit because I know who my God is. Oh, glory to God. David confessed he needed help. Return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of your unfailing love. I love this part. You know what David reminds God? For the dead do not remember you. Who can praise you from the grave? David's saying, God, you could wipe me out. But if you wipe me out now, no glory goes to your name. David's like, look, God, I failed you. I messed up. But could you just let your forgiveness, your loving kindness, let your great glory come back upon my life so I can testify, I sinned before the Lord, but the Lord delivered me. And because the Lord delivered me, I shall give testimony of God's greatness. David says, God, if I go down in the grave right now, it's over and no glory goes to you. So I'm asking you right now, save me because of your unfailing love, for I am not going to let the devil take me out and steal all that you've done in my life. Somebody got to get ready to let the devil know I am not going down this way. I am going to give praise to God because in the grave there is no more praise. No, it doesn't matter how much you've done for God. In the grave, there's no more praise. And remember something. God never promised anybody tomorrow. Sufficient is today. Are you hearing me? There is something that's got to change in us, in our countenance, in our ability to serve God, in the way we worship, in the way we encourage, in the way we stand strong, in the way we work in spiritual mindset and not in a carnal mindset. I preach this from Corinthians till now. There's a carnal mindset that's dominant. And I'm going to tell you, if there's one thing God called me from I was very young, he said, you will be a battle axe against the enemy. I want you to know that I will battle everything the devil sends because he has no power. He is toothless. And some of you have allowed him to change who you are, to do this and to do that, do this and do. Stand strong in the power of the Lord. Know who you are. Oh, I'm tired of the waffling. Oh, this one, and I don't like. Stop it in Jesus' name. Who are you? I'm a child of the King. Where am I going? I'm going to heaven. What's my mission? Bring everybody with me. We don't even know when we're tearing others down by the little things we do. But oh, I'm going to tell you right now. There's a cry for release that came from David. Why? Released from sinful adaptation, sinful thinking, sinful behaving. David cried in earnest plea. He says, take me back to proving God's power. Would you ask God, take me back to proving your power? Say it, ask the Lord. Come on, pray it. Take me back to proving your power. Because sinful adaptation or sinful acceptability is when a person convinces themselves that even though they're operating with a wrong mindset, they don't have to restrain themselves because they feel an entitlement to say, God is okay with it as long as I did some good things for God. You can't do enough good for God because the only person who's good is God. Reality, David declared his own need. He chose to see the error of his own ways and to then penitently move into the necessary repentance. Friends, never allow God to help you see what's wrong. Whereas Mother Merle, she always says, what do you usually say? God's trap is hard. Say it, Mother Merle. It's what? God's trap is hard. Say it in Trini. God's trap is hard. Say it Jamaican. God's trap hard, you see? Online translation. Don't let God have to use his strap on you. May we always remember that while humans cannot see everything, God sees, God knows what's right and what's wrong. So the responsibility of the righteous is this: there should be no weakness. The responsibility of the righteous is this: there should be no weakness. What makes these psalms so powerful is the way the Lord allowed David to represent everything that we ever face in our spiritual journey. Remember this: David was a man after God's own heart. This was a title given to him because of his absolute faith and dependency on the Lord. Acts 13:22, God removed Saul, replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. That's what God said about David. Here's David now in Psalm 6 going, God, I sinned, I failed, I messed up. And God, would you please don't let me go down to the grave like this. Restore to me now that joy of thy salvation. Because friends, regardless of who we are at all times in our life, when we get too comfortable in our Christianity, when we begin to behave as if God owes us something or that the church is our campground to do whatever we want, we are now walking in a self-righteousness that we need to be careful about. There are new people here, you're not yet saved. Can I tell you, this church is a holy ground and it's a place you can give your heart to the Lord, because we're not going to joke with anything here. You're not going to come in and we're going to be hypocritical from the pulpit and then laugh with you in the pew. We're going to tell you who God is and why God desires you to serve him all the days of your life. And yes, you may encounter one or two hypocrites, but they don't make up the church, because wherever there's church, there's one or two. Jesus had them in the New Testament and they had them in the Old Testament. But I want to tell you, we're striving to do all we can to walk in righteousness, so when you come in worship, you sense the power of God. In the building, you feel the power of God. Going in your car, you feel the power of God, because we want devil's powers and principality and sinful behavior to not be in here and to even stay out there, in Jesus' name. Whew. Thanks be to God for his loving and gentle prod. He prods us when we're going off course. Do you know, if you're going off course today, you don't have to sit there and pretend you're righteous. Do like David. God, David was a man after God's own heart. He's like, God, I'm after your heart. Guess what, God? I know you know I messed up. So God, I'm fixing it right now before anything happens, because you are God. I love that. Thank you. See, here's a saying. You could pull out your phone and copy this one. A true spiritual person knows when they are out of touch with God and when the flame of God's presence is no longer striving with them. I need you to take a picture of that. Because you see, the reason I need you to take a picture of that, there's so many people who, instead of dealing with the issues that diminishes their righteousness, they'd rather be self-righteous and make you feel that you're wrong. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm personally tired of it. I'm really tired of it. Because you see, a strong believer's internal struggle should never become an external fight against other people. The internal struggle is God's signal something needs to be fixed. So when David went back to the Lord, he said, God, I'm weak. God, I'm weak. God, I'm weak. God, I'm so weak. Do you know what 1 Corinthians 10, we preach it already, says? If you think you're standing strong, be careful you do not fall. I'm going to tell you as your pastor, I don't stand up here and preach a message that I haven't belabored God about myself. Because I know I have a quick tongue. I know I have a strong spirit. I know I have a fight and a feisty in me. But I know when I have to humble myself before the Lord. So when I preach, powers are broken. Demons tremble. I don't have enough time, but I do have to make time. I just shared this story with some friends before. Last Christmas, I traveled to the States and I took my puppy. And it was the first time I was flying with the puppy. Came back in, and it was late night flight. And I know I have to fill out a form and take it in. And I went in that room with my puppy, with the form and everything. Three agents, no one around. And they started yelling at me. I had the puppy walking because it was a five-hour flight, and so I would just bring her in. Nobody's around. Get the puppy back in the bag. Who do you think this is? And I'm like, oh, okay, in the bag. Get your papers on the table. I said, which one do you want, the puppy or the? No, but you have, and it was three, and they're staring me down. And I know what they want. They want me to fight back. But I know who I am. I know I'm quick in tongue. And I know I can quickly fix them. But I looked around and I thought, girl, you're the only one in here with the three of them. Hold your tongue. They kept yelling at me, three of them. Another couple walked in with a dog, same thing with their paper. They processed them and they were out. The dog was on a leash walking. A second couple came in, young couple, big dog. Dog was walking. And I'm like, okay, hold the Jamaican down. Hold the Jamaican. Michelle, you know what I'm talking about. I kept quiet. I bit my tongue. I prayed. I calmed myself. They kept me in there so long. It was sinful. It was wicked. It was devious. But I contained myself because I knew it was a setup. And I went outside as soon as I got out. And I confess with you, I'm so tough and strong, it's hard to make me cry. I got outside the room and I burst into tears until this lady says, are you okay? I was shaking because I was like, I can't believe I had to put up with that. And I made it out of there without opening my mouth because they wanted me to. You know why I'm sharing this story today? Because there are times the devil's doing that to you. And you need to let the tears fall, take the licking, take the whipping, take the beating, hold your tongue, hold your spirit, let God take you out. Because God is a vindicator. Because God is a vindicator. And God is a vindicator. Anybody ever been there? Ever been there? Come on, wave it to me if you've ever been there. Why can we do it in the natural, but we refuse to do it in the supernatural? I'm going to encourage you today. You can do it. David says, I'm not going to let the Lord's whip come down on me when I could take care of this myself, because there's a vexation of spirit that's rising in me because I'm confessing when I am wrong. But when you are not wrong, God will take care of you. So here's what David says in Psalm chapter 6, verse 8 to 10. David now turns the tide. See, if you've confessed, if you've done what's right, if you're going the right way, then you can put out a prayer. Oh, then you could put out a prayer. I'm going to tell you what my prayer was. After I calmed myself in my car, I went, God, fire them. Fire them, Jesus. God, no, I said, God, so many Christians are looking for a job. Remove them. Remove them. I'm sure they're not here today. Praise you, Jesus. Here's what David said. You see, when you turn it around, you have power to pray. Here's what David says. Because David knew, others knew he was wrong, and they couldn't say anything because he was king. But then they were talking, and David was feeling it. So now David says, go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard. The Lord has heard. The Lord will answer. Let's start over. Go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard. The Lord has heard. The Lord will. See, David's letting us know. He says, may all my enemies be disgraced and terrified. May they suddenly be turned back in shame. If you're doing what's right before God, when you turn yourself around, God is able to turn the situation around, because you can then pray, God, redeem me. Restore. Remember, David said, restore me. He's declaring, I'm back. I'm going for a turnaround. If you want to do a turnaround, make sure you've tuned your spiritual and antenna to God's channel, because a lot of people have their spiritual antenna tuned to people's channel, and you've decided which person's voice will be your direction. I got news for the church today. There's only one station you need to be tuned to, and it's called Holy Ghost Station. If there's another, it's the Word of God station. That's the only station. The problem that's destroying the church is that we're going sideways rather than upwards. It's not a time for sideways. It's a time for upwards. I want to tell you this, and I love God. I love the Lord, but I'll tell you this. If I am wrong in my leadership, then you go to God and say, God, remove her. But if I'm right in my leadership, God will deal with you. Doesn't matter online, whatever your church is, if your pastor is not right in their leadership, you have a power prayer. God, clean up the church and remove them. But if God is with his leader, and if the leader is with God, then you need to be careful that you're not against what God is doing. Amen. There's too much antennas up to too many channels right now. Make sure that you're not the one the devil's using, because the devil's using a lot of people. Do you realize James says the tongue is a deadly weapon? No one can tame it. But there's another passage that says it's the little fox that spoils the vine. It's not the big things that destroy a church. It's the little seeds. What is it that takes over your garden? Is it your roses or your dandelion? Talk to me. What takes over your garden, the roses or the dandelion? The dandelion will take over because it's a wild, ruthless flower. All the wild ones will grow wild and crazy like you've seen this year. But your good ones, they don't take over. Can I tell you something? It's the little, little seeds that's destroying the kingdom. And what's the devil looking for? More people who will plant little seeds. Isn't that how you're going to break down the church? Isn't that how you break down a church? It's not the big thing. It's the little thing. And I'm going to tell you something. This church is so poised for revival. Oh, I feel the fires of revival burning already. Does anyone feel it? If the fires of revival are burning, what's the devil going to do? Come on, talk to me. What's he going to do? He's going to fight. He's going to throw darts. He's going to plant seeds. He's going to get everybody listening to every other channel but the channel of the Holy Ghost. Because when we're listening to the channel of the Holy Ghost, we'll hear one voice. I'm pulling it in. I'm pulling it in today. Do you know why? The work of the kingdom of God is too important. It's a spiritual context that we're in. The Bible tells us in John chapter 21, feed my sheep and tend to my lamb. feed my sheep and tend to my lamb. Every one of us have a responsibility to feed whatever sheep comes in that wants to eat green grass from green pastures that comes from the word of God. Every person has a responsibility to tend to the lambs, regardless of what you think, feel, or want. We do not serve supernatural. We do not serve super personalities. We serve a supernatural God. The church has become about personality, and I'm stripping it of its strength today. We don't serve personality, no matter how good, strong, or nothing else. We serve a mighty God. Paul, when he was dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, I've been shipwrecked, I've been abandoned, I've been thrown over, but nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Get your act together, church, because I'm telling you right now, there's a spiritual fight on, and I am not the one to give up. Devil, back up. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know who you're dealing with. I've had to stand in countries in Africa and bind demons and devils and powers. I've had to stand in India and bind demons, powers, and principality. While I'm standing in North America, there's worse demons, powers, and principalities here. Need somebody to bind it with me so the church becomes the church of the living God. That means we're going to have to change our spiritual posture and seek God's mercy. Change your spiritual posture. What can separate me from the love of God? What can separate me? What, say it, what can separate me from the love of God? What can separate me? I'm going to tell you something, church. You have no idea how the enemy's weaving, disturbing, and destroying people. But let me tell you, when you get me mad, you get me mad when you begin to disturb the next generation. I came to this church to fight for them, and I will fight till death for them. You don't understand. You don't understand. I was given everything by everyone. They need to get everything that God has for them. I'm going to stand on their behalf. I'm going to tell you, I'm cleaning up today. Online, you don't understand half this message, but people need to get into a spiritual posture and seek God's mercy, because we've gone off course. We've gone off course. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me share this to everyone in this place. Anyone who begins to oppose what we're doing now to make sure we strengthen this church for future generations, I'm going to ask God to deal with you. Oh, Pastor, we have visitors here. The visitors are thanking me. They're like, that's why I stayed away from church. Pastors don't preach anymore. The visitors are saying, it's time. Somebody stood up and spoke up. I'm going to tell you something. How many of us grew up? I grew up with everything. Pastors, preachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. I grew up with grandmas, praying grandmas, interceding grandmas. Now all we want is feed me, make me feel good, pump me up, tell me who loves me, tell me who like me, tell me who want me, tell me whose club I'm in. I'm going to tell you, I'm so mad now, I'm going to break up your club. Don't let me get some others to start fasting with me, because it's time that we break up the nonsense. Stop fighting what God is doing and get on board, because the whole world is out there. Let me tell you, they don't know what Iran's doing. They don't know what Ukraine's doing. They don't know what Israel's doing. They don't know what is going on. We don't know what's going on in Canada. We can't even go to jail now for what we preach. Do you think we have time to be playing games about who likes who and who's with who? It's not who you're with. It's whose you are and what we're about. Get ready, church. Put up your fight. It's tiring. It's frustrating. It's tiring, because we are so self-consumed we forgot there's a generation dying. We're too self-consumed, and we preach about others, you know, people and the government. No, no. We make up a country. We make up a nation. We make up the spiritual entity. I don't care if you've not given your heart to the Lord yet. Today's a good day. You know why today's a good day? Because you know we're ready to tear the devil down that's been keeping you away. To make sure that when you step in, you know you're in a true blue Holy Ghost church that wants people to walk in power and purity and to see miracles, signs, and wonders happen. I want to preach about miracles in the fall. How can we have miracles if there's sin in the house? You got to turn it around and ask God, give me a spiritual posture, because I'm sick and tired of withholding the things that God wants so that I can appease people. Welcome to church. How many friends do you guys have? A whole ton on Facebook. Not Facebook. You don't do Facebook. So old. Why did you say Facebook? That's you people. My people. What do? What are we on? Instagram. Sorry. My people are on Instagram. Your people on Facebook. They have so much Instagram posts and Instagram likes, but they don't have any God posts and God likes. Because we've taught them that this is a social, not a spiritual. Can I tell you today, the end of my message is this: turn it around. Get ready. I don't care who you are. Get ready to turn it around. I don't care who you are. Get ready to turn it around. Do you know what? Gotta get tired. Make sure you grab. Cherry, you might want to make some more. Cherry, you're going to have to make some more. Make sure you grab that devotional and read what God said about today. Because you see those young men back there? Do you know why they like me? And they're like, why do you like me? Tell them why you like me. Why do you like me? What? They don't know that. Stand up and tell them. Stand up. Why? Make sure you give him a bonus for me. This generation are so sick and tired of everything being false. And we have been, us mature ones, we have been conditioned to keep it false so that we could look pretty. I don't want to look pretty. I want all of them to bring every one of their friends. They're shooting up the city. They're drugging up themselves. They're going around shooting up randomly. They're stabbing on buses. They're bringing knives in school. They're cursing and swearing at two. They're spitting on teachers. They're biting their leaders. And we're supposed to look pretty. I'm sorry. I'm not here for the prettiness. I'm here that we turn around, seek God's mercy, and move into a spiritual mode. God's word, thank you. God's word provides repentance. So friends, PPC, when you don't understand that what is necessary and why it's necessary, take your questions to the Lord and leave it to him. He'll answer in the right season. All right? The Bible says in Isaiah 56:1, do what is right and good, for I'm coming soon to rescue you and display my righteousness. Do what is right and good, for I'm coming soon. This church must return to a rightful posture, which is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, preparing for his coming, telling everyone that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is love, Jesus is our guide, Jesus is our strength, Jesus is our peace, Jesus is our hope, Jesus is a miracle worker, Jesus is still doing wonders. This church has to be poised where generations know this is not fake. This is not wishful thinking. This is not just come and do duty. This is real. It's so real that they can step into the power of God. I'm tired of watching. Are you going to watch all of our kids shoot up people, stab up people, and our young babies spitting on people, biting people, and then we come and we're playing games? There's no more games at the foot of the cross. It's time to turn it around and change our spiritual posture. David said, I was sick of heart, but then I went back to the Lord. I said, God, my life has got to give you glory in the land of the living. If your life got to give God glory in the land of the living, get ready. Get ready to walk it out. not just try to talk something. Walk it out so you can talk it out. We are in treacherous times. It is for such a time as this that God brought me here. It's for such a time as this. Every time I go out in the field and I see God saving people and delivering people, I ask God, why'd you take me off the field? And then God remind me, because I have a love for PPC, and that love has to be fulfilled because revival must come. You know why? We're going to be a flagship in this city. Do you know why all the politicians and different people come and visit us? Because when they come, they're not seeing politics. They're feeling the power of God. And so that's what we've got to see. We may seem insignificant, but we're not. Do you know we're not insignificant? Do you know the devil's watching us closely, fighting us hard, like the tooth and nail, trying to steal from us everything we've got in the next generation? But I claim every one of them back for the glory of God. And parents, you're going to start fasting and praying and speaking life, not death, because the devil knows what he's doing. When the church is stripped and broken down from all its young ones, then what do we have for your grandchildren? Oh yes, there's young churches they can run to. Show me in the Bible where it doesn't say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dwelling together. When it's just the God of Jacob, Jacob doesn't know how to dig the wells of Isaac. Isaac didn't know how to dig a well till he saw the well of Abraham. You can't have a one generation church. You've got a generational church where the iron sharpens iron, where we pull together, where we stand together, where we teach the next how to fight, how to pray, and how to stand. But most of all, we teach them the word of God.
Wow, what a powerful sermon. We're glad that you were able to join us and follow along. If we haven't had the chance to connect yet, check us out on our socials at MyPPCLife. To learn more about us and find ways to support our ministry, visit ppclife.ca. Thanks again, and we hope to see you next week.